Looky there. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right, Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for another wonderful night with you, Lord. We praise you for all the things that are going to be done tonight, Lord. And we ask and we pray for your guidance and your leadings. And, Lord, opening up the word to it. And let the RGN get out. And let's get some faith in all of us, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's happening in the world. A lot of good things are happening. A lot of corruption being exposed. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. We praise you for all the words that you've given us as well. And I thank you for all of that. Okay. Lord, I thank you for your protection upon Trump. Now, all the way through this great event that you've gotten him on and us with him, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that when he goes to the Super Bowl down there in New Orleans, that he'll be protected completely, and all the people with him will be protected. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Or a prayer request? Yeah, Missy. Excuse me.
Tuesday, Merle's niece texted him and said that they took her dad to the hospital. His name is, well, his nickname is Pee-wee. But anyway, because he couldn't walk and they couldn't find anything wrong with him, but he was up walking. They got him. He was up walking around. Eventually got up walking around with a walker. But for my first thought was that he had a stroke, but apparently not because they couldn't find anything. But, you know, we prayed right away. So my thought is, you know, they couldn't find anything. But last Merle text with her, she said he wasn't doing well. He was just laying in bed. I believe he's still in hospital. So, and he's 89 now. So Father, I don't know where Pee-wee is with you, Lord, but first and foremost, Lord, I pray that when he leaves this earth, Lord, that he doesn't leave, without knowing you, with that he be completely ready, Lord, to be with you, Lord. And he's lived many years, Lord, and if he's not ready to go with you yet, then we just ask you to preserve him, keep him, and we just even ask you for a mighty miracle. We speak healing to him, Lord, and to bring you glory and the honor and the praise, Lord, and to, as a means to drawing many people to you and knowing, Lord, that your salvation is so great, Lord, that covers everything in our life. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Pee-wee and saving him, healing him, and eventually taking him to be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Teresa.
There's supposed to be another polar vortex coming in, and it's geoengineered. So, we probably would be wise to pray against that. And also, my German Shepherd, Nini, has been battling a uterine infection. And so, you know, and I've been standing for her. I've been praying for her. But I would like her to get over that hump and get over that, you know, that... just get it cleared out and free from it and restored and healed up once and for all.
All right. Yeah, what's that dog's name?
But Nene.
What kind of name is that, Teresa? Nene, for a dog? German Shepherd?
She's actually kind of small, so she's kind of a eeny-eeny.
Okay. All right. All right. Lord, we lift up Nene to you. And Lord, we take authority over this infirmity that's trying to attack her in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go from her. Every vestige of it, leave her right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right to be there. She is under Teresa's authority. We take authority over that infirmity and command it to go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is done. By the stripes of Jesus, she's healed. Nene, be healed. Nene, be healed. Amen.
Do we want to pray against that polar vortex that's coming?
It's not coming to here. We rebuke it in Jesus' name.
It's not coming here either.
Okay. We've been having 70-degree weather, and I ain't going to put up with no cold weather.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord, that it's not going to come any further than it is right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Go back to where it belongs in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go back up to Antarctica, or up to Arctic, I guess. Okay, Missy.
I decided to go on my weather app to see if I saw anything about this polar vortex, and I'm not seeing anything yet, but I did catch something and I want to pray against. I just read the title. That's all I read, and that's all I needed to read was. It says, dairy herds in Nevada positive for bird flu strain linked to humans. I cast that down in the name of Jesus. I forbid in the name of Jesus those cattle being slaughtered in the name of Jesus, and forbid it in the name of Jesus. And command healing to those herds, and if it's false information, you know, lying, false positives or whatever, I command those herds to be tested again. I declare that truth will be known concerning this. And those herds will not be slaughtered in the name of Jesus. And send forth the angels to bring out the truth about this and bring justice to any criminality in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let me ask a question. If there is a disease in humans, like, let's say somebody in this group, and we're all together, has a bubonic plague, and we know that it's going to go around if we don't do something. So we just go ahead and kill everybody. Is that what we do? Yeah, we just kill everybody, don't we? Because we don't want it to spread. Bless God. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to make us think that we're stupid. Because one chicken gets something called bird flu and they want to kill a million of them. That doesn't make a bit of sense in the world. Or one cow gets whatever and then they go ahead and kill the whole millions of them. That don't make a bit of sense in the world. Yeah, Missy. I'm glad she did that. Praise God forevermore. Don't tell her. Don't tell her she's
muted. You're
muted.
You are muted, Missy. You're muted, Missy.
Stop it, Michael. I know I'm loved. I've never heard an analogy like that before that makes so much sense. I can't wait to tell Merle that when he gets home. That's crazy. Now you're muted, and I didn't mute you because I don't have that ability.
I didn't mute you. You muted yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Did I really?
Yeah.
How did I do that? Oh,
the Lord did it, I think.
Forgive me. How I did it. But anyway.
Oh, it's, it only takes a little bit of common sense to understand what these people are doing. They're trying to kill our food supply. That's exactly what they're trying to do. Lord, we thank you for stopping this nonsense with the chickens and the cows and anything else they want to, kill that away. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that's to cause panic and fear. You're right. And there's no sense in it. There's no sense in it at all. All right. Anyone else? I was just joking with you, Missy. Yeah, to control the masses. That's right. That's exactly what they want to do. I ain't a mass. Are y'all a mass? Nope. Y'all ain't a mass. Go ahead, Missy. I said.
I also got drift from over in the other room. What? I also
there must
got,
be a delay. There must be a delay here. Yeah.
Must be. It's not anymore in Jesus' name. Okay. They're also saying about how, and I don't know if this is true. I caught drift from the TV earlier. That there's thousands of kids and schools being closed that had flu and RSV and all this, and they're saying that vaccinations for the flu are down by so much for children and blah 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 blah. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, shut their mouths and shut down the mainstream media.
Amen.
They're lying to the people. And I command it to just stop. So many people do not understand that they are being lied to, that that's the only place they get their information, Lord. And I just shut the media false prophets down in the name of Jesus. Shut their mouths, Lord. Shut them down, Lord.
Amen.
And put on true, honest news. Up there in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for doing it.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for getting rid of the mainstream media. That's the ones that I've been working with, the CIA and the FBI and all of those people. And we praise you and thank you, Father, for doing it. It looks like to me, if you're reading the news, that USAID has been funding a lot of these left-wing news media people by the millions, and he's shutting it down. I noticed that Politico had to lay off a bunch of people the other day because they didn't get any money from the government. It's all left wing. Yeah, there's a lot of corruption that they're exposing now. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for getting it all out there. We thank you, Lord, for taking all the money away from the politicians that it's getting back into and putting it over there where people can use it in South Carolina and out in California and wherever. Thank you, Father, wherever it's needed. Hawaii. Thank you, Father, for getting these people houses. Okay, anyone else? I was waiting on Debbie. I've got a word to share from the Lord. Let me see if she's coming on. She had a good word from the Lord the other day. Has anybody got anything they want to pray about while I'm texting her? Yeah, Judy.
Yeah, I want to pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for be in control of everything, this, the weather and all the things that are happening right now. Lord, I thank you. There is a chance of rain overnight for me tonight, and I thank you for that chance. And you can do anything, but they're only giving us a slight chance and very small accumulation, but you control those clouds. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us more than what they're saying, and that it'll come down really easy. And I'm grateful, Lord, it's even in the middle of the night where people are not going to be out driving in it. And it's been a while since we've had a lot of rain at all, so the roads can get really slick from all the oil and stuff, and it's real dry. So I thank you for doing that for us, and I thank you for putting all those fires out. They are 100% contained everywhere, Lord, and I thank you for bringing down these the weapons of warfare against us that they're using, their bioweaponry, bringing down the planes, neutralizing them, and neutralizing the poisons they're spraying. And I thank you, Lord, the angels have already been dispatched. They're taking care of us. We thank you, Father. We can praise you. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to turn things around. And you're going to restore everything. You're going to restore everything that has been stolen from us. And for the people, especially, who have been devastated by the works of the deep state. And you know who they are, Lord. And I just pray that you've been using all of these things to turn people to you. And the people are humbling themselves and really seeking your face during this time, Lord. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name that this polar vortex and all the weather manipulation that they've been using will come to nothing. That their plans are all thwarted in Jesus' name. And we're going to have some really normal weather. I don't know if anyone really knows, but, you know, that is life. It's been so long. But we thank you, Lord, that you're in control of all these things, and we look forward to having blue skies when we're supposed to have clear skies and real rain clouds when we're supposed to have rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, she says she's fixing to get on. I thought maybe she might be over at Chuck and have practicing tonight, but she's not. All right, anybody else? Hey, Megan. Joe, Monroe, Benita, and Barbara, and everybody else. How y'all is? How y'all doing? Everything all right? That's cool. Amen. All right, what I was doing, I was waiting on Debbie to come in. She had a word from the Lord. It's basically some of the same thing that the Lord's warning us about, but I think he's getting a little bit more, how should I say this, running out of grace with time. So, we wait on her, but I have a song that I'd like, some music I'd like to play, if I can, I get everybody woke up here. All right, let's see here, let's share it. Let's get the sound and the optimal video. Why won't that work? You better work in Jesus' name. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he
the dry bones become in his flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of prayer. And these are the days of the harvest, yes, Lord. The fields are as white in your word. Yes, and we are the laborers in your Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah. Nobody, not Buddha, not Mahatma.
Where'd it go? I lost this thing for just a minute there. I don't know what happened. Ain't gonna happen again in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. That's one of my favorite renditions of that. Oh, Hattie. Did you see some of those? I love to watch the crowd because you see some of them, they're looking around, they're grinning, but they're scared to get their hands up, you know, because they don't do it in their church. If you do it out in public, somebody might see you. So they're looking around, they're having a good time. So then all of a sudden, they'll get them up there and then they'll close their eyes so they can't see nothing. It's awesome. They're getting free in those kind of places. Amen. That is awesome. Glory to God. Okay. Something I want to relate to you is a word that Debbie got the other night. Debbie, is there anything you want to say before I read it?
Yeah, it was this morning. This morning, it's about 6-ish that I got this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
He said the other night.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, 2625. All right, and the title of it, she put on it, was Will You Move With Me? Debbie says, I was reading over again this morning what I read last night, which was 1 John 1 and 2, And as I was praying and meditating on verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2, the Lord invaded my thoughts. I believe in lieu of news we were hearing this morning, and I heard him say, by my grace I have hindered things from happening. By my grace I have hindered things from happening. And that was all. And I said to him, speak more, Lord. And this is the word he continued to give. By my grace, I have hindered things I have wanted to do, but no more. My grace will no more hinder and push back my will. I am moving on. I am moving forward. My timing is of the essence. I am moving forward now. Can you see it? I desire for you to move with me. And by my grace, move with me. Your time in prayer is of the essence. Will you move with me? Move with me in prayer and time spent with me, hearing my voice and my leading. This is how you must move with me. And Debbie says, I did not have my mind on another verse or verses. I just prayerfully turned the page backwards to see what my eyes might land on. And I looked down in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It was on, her eyes fell on 17. I was going to read, we'll read 15 through 17 in context. And she said, I was thinking on how the Lord was relating these verses and verses 28 and 29 together for this word that he spoke. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Then 1 John 2, verses 28 and 29. And now, my children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that does righteousness is begotten of him. Well, thank you, Father, for always speaking to us and letting us know that you want us to move with you. Your desire for us is to be in the lock, is to be in lockstep with you in prayer and meditating on your word, ready to hear your voice and know your heart and your leading. Yes, Lord, we want to move forward with you. Thank you for your grace working in us to continually put to death any love of this world and desires of the flesh, for the desire to move forward with you wholeheartedly, being in your presence, never shrinking back. Our desire is to be working with you, for you, and not against you, that you may manifest yourself in us and accomplish your purpose in and through us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good word. One that we ought to really grab a hold of. It's kind of a continuation of other words that she's gotten, that we are to draw near to the Lord. This is the time if you want to be in the bride.
Michael?
Yes.
I really felt that he's wanting to, these things we've been praying for and waiting to happen. I forgot to mention how one point in this morning David had said something about things are going to be happening soon or something, and I remember this came to my mind, this word that I just got this morning before the meeting, and I thought, well, maybe this is God, that's what he's saying. He has held them off in the beginning of the word. He said, I've hindered these things from happening that I wanted to do, but they've been held off. Am I be cutting out again?
No, you're doing good.
Because something's playing on my screen. But he's been wanting to do things, but he's saying he'd be hindered. I think because just waiting on us, you know, to cooperate with him, work with him in prayer, and get these things done right in our life and our relationship with him. But I just think that, you know, even though it was before we even heard these things this morning at the reports, those good reports, great reports, God knew they were going to be said though. So that's why I said in lieu of what this, who said this morning, I felt that it kind of matched up with that, that he's wanting to move and do some things that we're looking for him to do. So I'm just, and we can all believe for that and, you know.
Amen. Yeah, I think he's ready to get the man child and the bride going. I believe. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that we're not waiting any time either. We're giving it all to you, Lord. We lay this old flesh, on the altar, and we thank you, Father, for burning it up, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we are continually listening for you and your voice and talking to you and taking you everywhere we go, Lord. We surrender our lives to you 100% and get rid of this old worldly life that we've used to living in. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Anna.
This is a testimony, so maybe I should wait and see if anyone's got anything to say about Debbie's word first.
Yeah, Julie.
Well, I just kind of wanted to confirm what Debbie was saying, what she felt that the Lord was saying, what he meant by that, by my grace, I have hindered things I have wanted to do, but no more. And they will no longer be known. And will no longer, I wouldn't say, my grace will no more hinder and push back my will. But you'd think it was because he's waiting on us for his bride to be, you know, for people to really get ready and to get rid of, you know, any idolatry, any, you know, stuff that we're not surrendering to him, or you know, helping us to overcome our doubt, fear, unbelief, or whatever it is that people overcoming our flesh, if it was something specific, or if it was just, you know, what he's been hindered by, like maybe, you know, holding back things, like really manifesting everything he planned to do with Trump, bringing down the deep state and all that kind of stuff. It's probably maybe an accumulation of all that.
Yeah,
that's. I was just wondering if that's what she felt.
That sounds good. I think so. Both.
Okay. Yeah.
Amen.
It's time to get ready. Get ready for this great happening that fixed to take place. Glory to God, we're fixed to see a have a revival all over this world. It's going to be bringing a lot of folks in. Lord's going to use us if you're ready. Thank you, Father. And it's going to be an awesome time. Yeah, it's by faith. It's all by faith. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You know, go ahead, Anna.
You had prayed, it's been a couple weeks now, for Elisha to, you know, over the ukulele, to love playing and to want to practice and want to play. And, we have only got it out one time because Obi's new drum kit has been the star of the show of all their free time for both of them. But, the one time we got it out since then, he at first was, I don't want to, but I was like, nope, we prayed. Thank you, Lord. He's going to do fine. And he did so good. I even put Obi on a guitar for the first time ever. And, he just took off. I was like, whoa, this boy needs a guitar. And with Obi playing guitar, Elisha was, you know, way more interested in it, and it just went really well. I was like, thank you, awesome. Lord.
So, thank you, Lord, for bringing on these musicians. Praise God. Obi's going to be good on that drum. I know he is. Thank you, Lord. He's got a new set of electronic drums. It's just awesome. Okay, anybody else? I'm glad it's over there, though, Anna. I remember when I started out on them, boy, it was screaming at me all the time. All right. Anybody else? Okay. And no testimonies or prayer requests from anyone else? In the basement. She just wished she had a basement. Go ahead, Missy.
Vanita can go first since I've
shared. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Vanita.
All right. Hi, everyone.
Hi, girl.
I just wanted to share a testimony. Tuesday, when Nick got on the call, I was in bed, I was really sick. I had a fever and I just was out. And I had to go pick up my daughter at the airport. But that morning, I woke up in the morning and I had a really, really bad sore throat. I swallowed and it just, every time I swallowed, it hurt so bad. And I'd been doing warfare against all of it all night long. And it just came in my head just to blow that whole spirit out. And so I just closed my mouth and thought about it and I just blew it all out and it just went away. I had no more sore throat. It was so amazing. And I've just been, I was running around telling my husband and my daughter, I'm like, you guys aren't even going to believe me because it's never happened to you, but it happened to me. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He started. Yeah. We've got those healing powers.
Amen.
Thank you.
We walk in divine health. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
The other day, not too long before I was about ready to go out and take a walk, Merle let Fudge out. And so when I went out, you know, I thought, well, wonder where she's at, you know, because she should have been ready to come back in. And I didn't see her, and I called her, and no Fudge. And we've had this collar on her that beeps and vibrates. And so we were beeping her and vibrating her, and she wasn't coming. And I thought, well, maybe it's not working or whatever. But anyway, so I'm just praying, you know, Lord, get her home. And I said tomorrow, I said, I'm going to go take my walk. And and I called him and I said, call me when she comes home. If she gets home before I get back, you know, or whatever. And so I was praying that that would happen. I even sent my angel. I imagined my angel picking her up and bringing her back home and putting her in the yard. Well, my neighbor called. Well, actually, I called my neighbor and asked her if she was home. She said, no, she wasn't home. Long story short. And and in the middle of that, Merle called me and told me that Fudge was back at the door. I said, did you see where she came from? He says, no, I went off somewhere and came back and I saw her at the door, you know. She can be a little stinker. She knows where her home is and she knows where her property line is, but she wants to go wandering sometimes. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her home using by my angel. I believe that's how she got home so quickly. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for the little things, the big things. You know, I was just like, I'm not going to worry about this, you know, because this wasn't the first time, but this is the first time in a while that she had, you know, wandered off and vibrating or beeping her collar didn't even work. She must have been really out of range. Where she got to, I don't know. But anyway, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. For them angels, bringing them butts back home. All right. Anybody else? All right. Real good news. Y'all ready? Y'all want to do some more real good news tonight? Let me see if I can remember where we stopped. Okay, did we stop where it says one reason is
page 49.
I don't
page
have
49 a, down at the
I don't have a page 49. I'll put mine out up on a word so I could read it here.
Oh.
Give me the first verse.
What's paragraph start at, Pat?
Well,
I've got
so you see, unbelief brings discipline.
Okay, I see it. So you see, unbelief brings disobedience. Is everybody there? Okay. All right. Are you there, Teresa?
Well, I'm on page 49, so I'm just looking for that exact sentence. Okay.
It's about in the middle of the page.
Okay.
So you see, unbelief brings disobedience. And the nearest verse to it is Hebrews 4:11. And it's up above that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right, good deal. So you see, unbelief brings disobedience. As a matter of fact, here in chapter 4, the word apatheia is used twice. And it could be translated either way because it means both disobedience and unbelief. Well, how could that be? Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience, apatheia, which also means unbelief. Why would it be the same word? Hebrews 4:6. Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter therein too, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience or unbelief, apatheia. You see, if you have unbelief, you will be disobedient. Now, I think we talked a little bit about that Tuesday night. If you have doubt and unbelief, you're disobedient to the Word of God. And I'm not trying to put condemnation on anybody. Just believe and trust what the Lord has given us. And you'll walk in that divine health that he talks about. Has anybody got any questions about that particular passage? So when we're walking in doubt and unbelief, and I can tell you this, that's the reason most people don't get healed, is doubt and unbelief. In my experience, has been doubt and unbelief. Now, it doesn't mean that it might happen right away. I've seen it happen right away. I've seen it happen. Somebody going out, and a couple of hours later, they'll call me and say, man, I'm healed. And I've had it happen when a day or two later, they'll get it. But they will get it if they hold to that confession that they are healed. And you're not going against God's word when you do that. When you confess the bad confession, it's when you're in doubt and unbelief. I am healed. Now you could tell somebody, well, I feel terrible. That's okay because I know God's healing me. Yeah, Andrew.
So I was just going to bring up something I believe is helping me in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of the faith. To lay hold of eternal light, whereunto thou was called, and didst confess the good confession before many witnesses, even if you confess something here, and then go and have faith for it, you need a verse for that. And, you know, another similar one is, though our outward man, we faint not, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewing day by day. But whatever your need is, whether it be a healing, a provision, That outward man has to conform to the inward man. So, I was just looking at that verse. I use the 1 Timothy 6:12 a lot. Like, I'm going through something now, so I'm using that a lot. So, I think I'm progressing. Because I don't like regressing, so I'm progressing. So,
amen.
You know, there's a few times where I grab my glasses here, And I put them on and I go, that's blurry, you know? But before I used to like put them on to read, Deborah's name there, Teresa, Julie. And then it was blurry when I put it on once and I was going, maybe something's happening up there too. So, you know, I don't want to say anything, but there's a lot of stuff wrong with me. But I'm just praying them down as they come up. You know, they disappear. Sometimes they come back, and then, you know, I have to remember, thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. And we can bind these things on earth as it is in heaven. So that was a nice item for me to even think that way. So God's helping me to think better. Anyway, amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. I have a booklet that I read quite often, and it's by Charles Capps, and it's called God's Medicine. And here are the directions for it. He says, to be spoken by mouth 3 times a day for 10 minutes each time until faith comes, and then once a day to maintain faith. If circumstances grow worse, double the dosage. There are no harmful side effects. That's pretty good. And then it starts out, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven and free from sin and guilt, and I am dead. And it just goes on from there. That is the confession you ought to be confessing all the time. All the time. He wants you to confess that you are sin-free, you are righteous, and guess what happens? It gets in your spirit. And once it gets in the spirit, you start looking like Jesus and bearing the fruit of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I do also quote 1 Peter 2:24 a lot.
Yep.
And of course, Matthew 8 and 17. And, that's the one I think has a lot to do with your redemption, where it says, himself took our infirmities and bore the sicknesses. I believe that has a lot to do with your redemption. And you're redeemed this way. You purchased you, so you don't have that anymore. So you got a new blood on you, you're above the curse. That's what it says, you know. Anyway, so if there is a correlation sometimes that goes into your head, you know. So, praise God.
One of the confessions he makes here, Andrew, is the life of 1 Peter 2:24 is a reality in my flesh, restoring every cell in my body. Glory to God. You know, it's just great stuff. And I think I sent this to y'all at one time. But anyway, that's something you ought to do. He says do it 3 times a day, and I agree. I'd do it 4 or 5 if you can. 10 minutes a day, whatever. Because every time you confess it, guess what happens? It gets in your spirit. And you start walking in it. Praise God.
And you can also throw in Luke 1:37, you know, for no word of God is void of power.
Yeah, that's right. So, glory to God. Amen. Colossians 1:21-22, Matthew 6:12, Romans 5:5, all of those good verses, man. All of them. Isaiah 53. All right. Anybody got any questions or comments on what we just talked about? Doubt and unbelief is disobedience, he says. So what do? We quit talking the bad report. We start talking the good report. That's what he wants us to do. Before men, how you feeling? Man, I feel great. Glory to God. Couldn't feel any better. You might feel terrible. Well, you can tell him, you know, I really don't feel terrible, but I know I'm healed. Because the Word of God says it. And I trust what the Word says over and above what I feel like. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go on here. If you have unbelief, you will be disobedient. One reason is you cannot cease from your own works when you don't believe God's already done it. You always want to help him out or get your eyes on the world and on your problems, and you fall victim to fear and doubt and discouragement and everything that happens because people live by what they see with their physical eyes rather than what they see in the Bible. If you walk by sight, you will not walk by faith. If you're looking at your problems around you, like Israel in the wilderness, what'd they see around them? They saw lack. They became fearful because they did not believe that God was able to meet their every need out there in that place, and the devil agreed with them. So they were full of fear, discouragement, and full of disobedience, and spoke against the Lord. It's the only thing that you have left if you don't have faith. So let's read the story and pick out some things. Numbers 21 and verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, there's no water, and our soul loathes this light or vile bread." Well, what were they talking about, speaking about? They were speaking about the manna, this vile bread. And as we were speaking about a little earlier in our earlier broadcast, the bread of life is sweet to the taste, but it's bitter in the belly. In other words, the flesh don't like it. Because it demands your life, it demands you give up your thinking, your ways, it demands submission. And because these people were discouraged and were walking by sight, having their eyes on the problems around them instead of the promise, they became discouraged and they spoke against the Lord. And that's all you can do when you walk by sight and you fill your mind with what you see around you. And then what the word of the Lord says. As we have already studied and seen, God has already taken care of every problem that you could imagine and every problem that you could possibly have. It's all been covered by the blood. It has already been covered by the Lord on the cross. He's already taken it away. It's already solved. John 19:30 says, "It is finished," is what the Lord said. He told his disciples, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," in John 16:33. It's already solved. If we keep our eyes on those promises, they bring us rest. If we get our eyes on the problem, we stumble and we fall. I remember there was this lady years ago that we had really struggled with for years to minister to her and to bring the gospel to her to help stabilize her in the word. But she would always go back to walking by sight and speaking against the Lord. Do you know what speaking against the Lord can be? It can be anything that is contrary to the word. Anything that is not confessing the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Our salvation in every form comes not only by faith, but the works that come from faith. And the biggest work that comes from faith is what we say, what comes out of our mouth. So we were ministering to this lady, and the Lord would talk to us with dreams and visions for this lady constantly. And one time my wife got a dream, and the dream was that she was in the top bunk bunk bed with this lady on the lower bunk, and they were resting except for one thing. While my wife was resting, this lady was just tossing and a-turning, and all of her covers were all twisted up, and she was not comfortable. And then my wife heard her say things like, "I'm just so afraid, I just can't do it." A lot of negative things were coming out of her mouth. And my wife knew that the name of this place was holiness. And she also knew that the only way she could stay there was to confess the Lord there. So this lady was saying all these negative things, and my wife said, she looked over the end of her bunk down at her. She said, "Nope, that's not what the Bible said. Nope, that's not what the Bible said." She kept correcting her. But this lady was saying things against the Lord, against the Bible. And finally the lady says, "I just don't know if I want to stay here." Well, you can't stay in the place of holiness unless you're going to agree with the Word of God. Amos 3:3 says, "Shall two walk together except they have agreed?" So we have to learn to confess the Lord in the midst of the situations around us. The Israelites were in what appeared to be a desperate situation, but the Lord had already solved this problem. He brought them there on purpose. He brought them there to try them to see if they walked by sight or walked by faith. The Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, confess me before men, confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We believe his promises, and they give us rest. And what naturally comes out of our mouth is in agreement with the Word of God. And when you confess him before men, he confesses you before the Father. And the word confess here is homologeo. And it means to speak the same as. When we are in the tribulations of our wilderness experiences, we see our need. We see our lack. We see our sicknesses. We see our sin. We see our problems, which we have discovered that the Lord has already taken care of. Somebody just did something. Hey, oh, Michael. That's Ann. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
You know, some of these items that you said here, to speak the same as, you know, that is, and the obedience is all, you know, even can two walk together lest they agree, agreement. You know, it's really all that, all the love that you're supposed to have for the Father. You know, like, love is the first fruit. And, we need to always have our Father in mind when these things come to happen. You know, there's a really nice verse about the Holy Spirit, and he said he's going to teach you all these things and remind you of what he taught you. He's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And he's going to teach you all things and remind you of what he taught you. So here you have, from the least of them to the greatest of them in that covenant, that he's going to speak to you. Because you have the Holy Spirit, and he's going to speak to you. He'll remind you of the verses. You know, he'll... A good prayer. I'll put that one on my prayer list. Is 14:26 of John. Because you want him. When you're in distress or need his help, you don't need his help when you don't need his help. You need his help when you need his help. So, and he said he was going to do this, and he was going to remind you of this. And I just want to bring that as hopefully a comfort to people, you know, that God has it covered. And anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Andrew. Now, just to reiterate what I said, or what David said, when we are in the tribulations of our wilderness experiences, we see our need. We see our lack, and we see our sickness, we see sin, we see our problems, which we have discovered that the Lord has already taken care of. Are we going to agree with the good news? Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very important that we confess in order to bring the salvation that we're believing for. We're calling the things that are not as though they were. Quantum faith. Romans 4:17. It's very important that we confess him before men. That we say before men what his word says. Jesus is called the high priest of our confession, Hebrews 3:1. He offers an offering before the Father, and that offering is what we say, what comes out of our mouth. And if we speak the same as Jesus, then he confesses us before the Father. And in Luke 12:8-9, before the holy angels, David says, I also like Matthew 12:36. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There are many days of judgment. We come into days of judgment, thank God, so we don't have to come into the day of judgment. But our idle words, that word idle means unfruitful. There are unfruitful words that don't give us any help in the day of judgment. It says in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. That means accounted righteous. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And when you come into judgment, do you want to be condemned or do you want to be justified so that you come through and overcome it? Well, he tells us in order for that to happen, we have to confess him before men. And I like Matthew 15:18. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. Verse 20, these are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashing hands defiles not the man. So, when we think thoughts that are contrary to God, when we speak what we see, feel, and hear, like the witnesses who went into the promised land who brought back a bad report, what they saw and what they felt and what they heard, they were condemned by God. And they died in the wilderness because they made the hearts of the people fearful. And they made them fall away. Numbers 13:14. So these men died in the wilderness because they brought a bad report. And the rest died because they believed what they heard. Our report, the good witness that we're supposed to give before men, has to be what thus saith the Lord. What did the Lord say about this circumstance and what about this situation? By your word, you're going to be justified, accounted righteous. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. When these people in the wilderness began to look at the problems around them and got discouraged because they didn't have their mind on the promise, they spoke against the Lord. What did they do? They spoke about what they saw, what they felt, and what they heard, and what their fears told them what happened. They cried the whole time to go back to Egypt because they loved the fleshly rest of trusting in the world to supply their needs. And yet God wanted to take away any kind of fleshly rest. He wanted them to rest in the promises in the wilderness. And so he brought them out there for that very purpose. He had to bring them through the wilderness to get them to the promised land. And of course, they were not worthy to live in the promised land unless they went through the wilderness, confessed him in the midst of those trials. Amen to that. I just wanted to see if anybody wanted to speak about anything that would, or ask any questions or comment on it. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
We must always speak that good confession, but if you know how the world is, you don't really like to confess anything to them. But we have a nice fellowship, and these people aren't going to treat you the way the world does when you confess things to them. So, you know, you got to find the right people to confess it to. Even though you're confessing it to the world, it might be used as a means for God to bring the word to the other guy. But, it's good to confess here too, you know, in front of brethren. And that even though they were all in the wilderness, they were all supposed to be brethren. But, you know, I don't know what happened with them, you know. I mean, we're supposed to be in our wilderness too, you know. So,
yeah.
Speak the good confession.
Yeah.
Love the Lord. All you want to do is love him.
I'll tell you what you can do. Figure out something that you can confess that you want, that you know that you can't get it in any other way other than the Lord. And start confessing that and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this, because I know if I see it, it has to be from you, because it ain't going to come any other way. Watch what happens. He loves to fulfill those kind of prayers. We do it all the time. That's what we're in now. This is this trial. This is the wilderness before the big wilderness. And those that pass the test now are the ones that are going to fly through the wilderness, the tribulation, with ease. You're going to teach other people. So all you got to do is just trust the Lord. That's like the first time I started believing God for things that I didn't know what God could do. It's when I heard David say that he wore glasses, and he just told the Lord, said, I'm just going to believe you. I don't want to wear these things. I'm tired of them dropping out of my pocket every time I bend over and this kind of stuff, you know. And I said, well, Lord, you healed David for that. If you healed him, you're not a respecter of persons. And in my eyes, I couldn't see close up and I couldn't see far off. I had to have them to read and I had to have them to drive. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm tired of these things. I'm going to put them up. I'm trusting you. So I put them in my top drawer, and they're still there, by the way, back in Arkansas. I put them in my top drawer up there, and I just went on about my business that rest of the day. And, of course, I read the Bible when I get home, read the Bible. I could read it. I said, look at here, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I could read it, and I have read it ever since. Now, every now and then, that old enemy will try to come up, sneak up behind you, and try to say, well, you're going to lose your eyesight again. Uh-uh. I rebuke you, devil. You just rebuke it, and I'm telling you. And they come right back. It just clears right. I just look at it. I said, devil, I'm going to look at this thing until it get clear. Because you ain't whooping me on this one, because I don't want them glasses no more. That's been 14, 15, 18 years ago. 17, 18 years ago. Figure out something that you want the Lord to do for you and just hang with it. And just watch what he'll do for you. It doesn't have to be glasses. It could be anything. How much money do you need? Watch what happens when you start believing him for it. That money will come out everywhere. He might tell you to look under your bed mattress. Look in your drawer down there. Or whatever. I've had the Lord put money in my billfold. I didn't even ask for it sometime. David's had thousands of dollars given to him that the Lord just placed in his under his mattress. 4,000. No, it was 8,000, wasn't it? 8,000, yeah. 8,000 under the bed. And a little bit while later, the Lord said, why don't you look down in the drawer? I said, all right, look down in the drawer, another 8,000. That's believing God. You just believe that it's going to happen. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
When you're talking about your eyesight, Michael, I've been standing in faith for the healing of my eyesight, that my 20/20 vision. The last time I had to get my driver's license renewed, I had to go in and actually take a test. You know, I had to go in. I couldn't just renew it on you know, through the mail like I've been doing. They want you to come in and you have to get your picture retaken and pass your, you know, pass the written. I didn't do a written test, I had to a vision test. So I went without my glasses. I think I had them in my purse with me. But I was believing that, and I was going to be able to read the eye chart. And he just worked everything out. But he, the man that was helping me, he was a Christian. And anyhow, I ended up praying for him. And, but he, when I got out there to do my eye exam, I was having trouble with that line, that last line to have to read. And everything was kind of blurry. And I was just trying to make out what I was reading. He's like, nah, try it again. He switched out another, you know, line maybe he thought was easier for me to read or whatever. You know, the letters, numbers, letters, and, just letters. But, and that, I did it like three times, and finally, and it's like, I step back and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I think I kept thanking the Lord. I need to see this. I'm going to see this. I'm going to be able to read this. And the guy was just watching me, you know, and I stepped up there again. I put my eyes up there and everything came into clear vision and I just read it off. He's like, okay. The guy was like, okay, there you go. So I was going to take it. But that was one of the things. It's like, I'm just like, I'm not going to be put to shame. I'm here. Lord, you said I'm healed. My eyesight is healed and I can see this and that's what I'm doing. So anyhow, the blurriness came back after that. But, you know, it was just, you know, I know my eyes are healed completely of everything. Amen. And I can read perfectly fine. It's that distance thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say what they curse that with, but I have 20/20 vision. And, I can see far away and I can see up close and all that. So I just thank the Lord that he is faithful and it's all going to manifest and it's going to stay that way in the name of Jesus. And, anyhow, that was an opportunity I got to pray for him because he saw as somebody of faith and I was believing for faith and he saw it and he's like, would you pray for me? Cause he wanted to get out of that job. He didn't want to work there anymore. I said, I blame him. So anyhow, I just believe the Lord answered that prayer for him too. It was a neat experience. I'm like, I saw him do it, you know? I'm like, my eyes is clear completely up to read that eye chart so I could, you know, I'm not restricted to my glasses, you know, on my driver's license, and that's what's going to stay in Jesus' name.
You just jarred my memory. When I came here to get my Tennessee license from Arkansas, I had to take an eye test too. And I went down to Athens, took it out. I think there was a couple of guys with me at the time. And I was kind of sweating, but I knew I could see it, you know. But when I got up there to look at that thing, just like you, down at the bottom where the little stuff is, it was just like a blur. Just like a blur. I said, I ain't receiving this. In Jesus' name, I'm going to see it, everything. So I did it real slow. I said it real slow, all the way across there, the ones I could really see. Then when I got down at the bottom, I believe the Lord told me this, He said, you just say what you think you ought to say. So I just said it. I just said it across there, and it was just exact. The guy said, okay. A woman said, okay, you passed. I couldn't anymore see that in the man on the moon. But the Lord helped me because he knew. I believe it. Yeah, I just did. I just started A, B, C, D, whatever it was that I spouted out. And she just went ahead and made my driver's license out, and I ain't had to take another since then, praise God. Go ahead, Teresa. Lord is good, isn't he?
Yeah, the Lord's good. The Lord did the same for me in restoring my vision too. So, as a kid and young adult, and I had to wear glasses. I could not see. It was far away. It was blurry. I had to have glasses. I was nearsighted. Well, when I moved to Bonner's Ferry, I didn't always have the money to go get new glasses when my other ones fell apart. But I still had to drive those roads. And so, you know, those mountain roads. And so I just prayed. God, you know, I stood on the word, you know, by Jesus. You know, Jesus gave me my healing for my sight, you know, at the cross, and I receive it, and I thank you, God, for it. I don't know the exact moment it happened, but probably as I was driving those snowy, icy mountain roads, but I had perfect vision. And so when I came to Kansas, you know, now I need to, you know, have the reading glasses. But when I came to Kansas, the driver's license examiner, you know, I had to, you know, read everything. Well, I read everything perfectly. You know, the big letters as well as the small letters. And he said, well, you know, well, I'm not going to, see it before. I had to have the demarcation to wear glasses. It says, I'm not going to put that on there. And so, you know,
praise God.
That's just another testimony that God did it for me too.
Praise God. Yeah. That's awesome. Anybody else? Okay, let's go on. Here, just a little. I'm going to start.
Michael, can I say one more thing?
Sure, yeah.
The reason I had to drive is because my husband, you know, he's my ex-husband now, but his eyesight was not good. And so he needed my eyes to drive. And so, I also believe that because, you know, I don't know what the word is for it, but I had enough mercy on him to do it for him, you know, to be his eyes for him. And so, you know, I think that could be another reason that because I was his eyes, you know, God restored my eyes too.
Praise God. It makes no difference how he does it, as long as he does it, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay. I didn't have, my parents didn't have the option, Anna, of electronic drums back in the 60s. She put in the chat that Obi can turn the, put his earbuds on and hear him, but nobody else can hear it, only when he plays the electronic drums. So that's pretty neat. All right, let me get going here. Okay. They cried the whole time to go back to Egypt because they loved the fleshly rest of trusting in the world to supply their needs. And yet, God wanted to take away any kind of fleshly rest. He wanted them to rest in the promises, in the wilderness. So he brought them out there for that very purpose. He had to bring them through the wilderness to get them to the promised land. And of course, they were not worthy to live in the promised land unless they went through the wilderness and confessed him in the midst of those trials. And we see here that the people spake against the Lord. What comes from the disobedience caused by unbelief? They spoke against the Lord, saying that he was going to cause them to die in the wilderness, and how much they hated the bread. What did that bring? It brought a curse on them. Numbers 21 and 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. It brought the curse. They hated the light bread. They hated the Lord. Did you know that if you don't love the word, you don't love the Lord? Many people say they love the Lord, but what did the Lord to himself say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14, 15. If you love the Lord, you will love the word. The light bread was the manna. What was that? I will give you an example. Exodus 16, 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Some of you probably have a note there that the word manna is actually the Hebrew word man or mon. Wow. They call the name of it man. Well, who was the man? Well, Jesus is the man. He said, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life unto the world. I am the bread of life. John 6, 33 and 35. They hated the manna, which represented the word of life. And it represented he who is the word, Jesus Christ. They hated the Lord. The Lord is these promises. The word became flesh, John 1, 14. And for us to be like him, bearing his fruit, we too have to be the word become flesh. The word manifested in flesh. That's God's plan, that he might reveal himself through the body of Christ, that's the church, like he revealed himself through the first body of Christ. Because they hated the Lord, because they became discouraged, because they had their eyes on the problems instead of on the promises, they had no rest. They had not entered into the rest. They had not ceased from their works, and they were under the curse. Numbers 21 and 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. David says, I remember when I was growing up, my daddy had an old saying. I never really understood it until I began to read the Bible. He would talk about people who just always had problems, and the world would call them jinxed. But my dad would call them snake bit. That's what we used to call them in Arkansas, too. He said, I didn't understand until after I read the Bible. I realized that snake bit represents somebody that is under the curse. They fall into it everywhere they go. And the main reason is because they don't believe the word of God. They don't have their eyes on the Savior. And they have their eyes on the problem. And because of that, their heart just melts. Their heart is not strong before the Lord. And they get discouraged and they get fearful and they are full of doubt. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The promises gives us power over the flesh and power to change things. Let me give you a little testimony of the power to change things. I had a good friend of mine that used to have a men's house where the homeless could come in and stay. I don't know how many he was housing there, but he had a bunch of them there. And the cook came in and said, Jim said, we're out of food. We ain't got no money to get no food. And he said, all right, let's pray. So, just like David. Well, let's just pray. And so they got around the table and they prayed, you know. Nothing happened right away, of course. But a little while later, a drug dealer from the streets, this is over in Memphis, came running in. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. He was mad as a wet setting hen. And he threw $600 up on the table and took off running back out the door. God can use a drug dealer to help out in times that he needs it, you know. Well, they took the $600 and got some groceries. That's how God can work, you see. He could use anybody. He could use a devil to help you out. Praise God. That was when Jim told me that, I just laughed. I said, that's awesome. Boy, that boosted our faith, my faith up real, real good. Jim was a man of faith. Okay. Has anybody got any? You remember George Mueller, don't you? He wrote a book on all of his answers to prayer. Built an orphanage. Still standing, I think, isn't it? Over there. Glory to God. He wouldn't tell anybody what he needed, but he'd tell the Lord. Lord, I'm going to put this next building up, and I'd ask that you give us the wherewithal to do it. And it wouldn't all come in money. It wouldn't come in money a lot of times. Somebody would send lumber over there, or somebody else would send bricks, somebody else would send this, somebody would send a bunch of money, and he'd build them. He'd get them built, you know. Somebody come over and help him put them up. A lot of times he used help from the people around there. But that's a testament of faith there now. You got a bunch of kids that are hungry. How many of you know kids can eat like a hog? Yeah, they can. They can. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I remember when I read his book, one of the instances, they didn't have any food, or they didn't have any milk. And of course he had a bunch of kids that he had to feed. And so he prayed, and, lo and behold, a milk truck, driving down the road broke down right in front of his place. And, the milk truck driver, you know, knocked on the door and said, listen, my truck just broke down and I got to get rid of this milk. Brought all the milk in. So that's how the Lord supplied that one, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That right now is the time to start testing, not to testing your faith. Just asking for something that you know that you can't supply. And watch what happens. And say, all right, I'm going to believe for it, Lord. I'm just going to thank you for it now. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that I need. And he'll bring it in. He'll bring it in. Okay. Anybody else before I get back to reading? There was something I was going to tell you. It'll come to me. Let's see here. Okay, their heart is not strong before the Lord, and they get discouraged, and they get fearful, and they're full of doubt. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The promises gives us power over the flesh and power to change things. The Lord sent these fiery serpents among them, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. Numbers 21 and 7. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." They sinned because they spoke against the Lord. Do you know how common it is for God's people to speak against him? And because their tongue is connected to their physical sight and their physical hearing, and what they see in the physical realm and not according to the word of God, it's overwhelmingly common. But it's also common that God's people live under the curse. But the Lord did not ordain us to live under the curse. He ordained us to live above the curse. You know what God told Joshua? He said in Joshua 1 and 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." I'll tell you what you can do. I've heard Kenneth Hagin talk about this a lot. He said, if you have a problem and you need God to fix it, go into the Word of God and find every scripture in there about what it is that you need to do, have done, and put it in your spirit. Write them down and start confessing them. Like if you need money, go in there and look up provisions, look up money, whatever, and go in there and write them all down. Believe for them. You'll have it. Look up healing. Look up deliverance. All of those verses that are connected to that. And then write them down and then start confessing them in a way that would, your confession would be a good confession. All right, let's see. Yeah, Joshua 1 and 8. Do you know what God told Joshua? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." In other words, agreement with the word. Not necessarily quoting the word. "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus." So this is how we prosper in going to the promised land. And what did he say? He's that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see, faith makes us obedient. Unbelief makes us disobedient. If we never cease from our works, we will never enter into the rest. And that's what he exhorted. Hebrews 3 and 11, "As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Well, why is that? Because they had an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3 and 12. They spoke against the Lord and they realized that this was sin. And they asked Moses to pray for them. And Moses prayed for the people. Numbers 21 and 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a standard, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." What does the serpent represent? We came out of this world into the kingdom of God, into what is called the body of Christ. So what body were we a part of before we came to the body of Christ? Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me," Matthew 12 and 30. He talked to the Pharisees and said, "Ye are of your father, the devil," John 8 and 44. They were members of the body of the devil. We used to be in his body. We were created in his image, and we were actually full of the poison of the serpent. We had that poison in our heads, just like a serpent does. Remember the old serpent called the devil, Revelation 12 and 9? And yet the Lord called us to be a part of his body. But the Bible says that Jesus became like that serpent, John 3 and 14. And from now on, what we can see when we look at Jesus upon the cross is we can see our problem put there. We can see our curse put there upon him. We can see our sin put there upon him. We can see our sickness put there upon him. And we can see our lack put there upon him. We can see all of the cure put there upon him. And in Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Redeemed is the word exagorazo, and it means to buy out or to purchase a slave with a mind to set him free. Christ bought us. He delivered us from bondage, from slavery to the devil, and to the curse. The curse of the law is all of the evil things that came upon mankind for disobeying God's law, Deuteronomy 28. Having become a curse for us, Jesus became the curse. Well, who is it that administers the curse? It's the devil. He's been given that authority by God to do it so that people would repent and turn to him. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And now we see that Jesus became cursed. He became like the serpent, us. Verse 14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Bible says Abraham was blessed in all things. Verse 16, now to Abraham were the promises spoken and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. God made all these promises to Christ, just to one seed. Now we must abide in him. We abide in him by accepting the same promises, by speaking the same promises, by walking by faith in the same promises. This is how we abide in him. And we receive the benefit of Abraham because Jesus became cursed for us. God put our curse on him. He put the whole curse that is enumerated in Deuteronomy 28. He put it on Jesus. So no matter what problem you got, you should be able to see this problem upon Jesus. Numbers 21 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a standard, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And another thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, him who knew no sin he made to be sin. He became the curse and he became the sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You got a problem with sin? Have you got a problem with the curse that comes from sin? We see here the serpent on the cross, and we see here that the Lord has put all of this upon Jesus. Now, what are we to confess? If we get our eyes on the serpent on the pole, if we get our eyes on the fact that Lord Jesus was born all of this, has borne all of this away, and we are what Corinthians says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. All of that curse and sin that has all passed away, we are new creatures. And that's what you're supposed to see when you look at the serpent on the pole. You see your curse, you see your sin upon him. And the curse is broad, very broad. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it's all sickness. It's all lack. It's all bondage to your enemies. It's all of those things. And it's all been put upon Jesus Christ. Well, what are we supposed to confess? Confess what we see in the world or what we see on the cross? We speak against God if we're not speaking in agreement with his promises. We must repent. We must change our mind. That is what repent means. We're new creatures in Christ. And since Christ has been raised up on the pole for our salvation, John 3:14, and we are to get our eyes upon him, because Moses said, everyone that is bitten when he sees it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. It's the AMA, or American Medical Association, who has claimed the serpent on the pole as their symbol. But the serpent on the pole represents the fact that God already healed you, not that God's going to use some modern method to heal you. They can't claim that as God's method. They can't claim that as God's method. God's method is calleth the things that are not as though they were, Romans 4:17. And for by grace have you been saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. It's unearned, it's unmerited. You don't have to pay for it. The serpent on the pole is the fact that we can look at Jesus and see that our sickness has already been put upon him. And we don't have to accept it. That's the really good news. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any comments?
Michael?
Yeah, Joe.
While you were reading it, it happened a little while ago. I just got that a couple of days ago, a few days back. I asked the Lord, why hasn't I been healed, and so on. And he gave me a vision. I just makes sense to me now. He gave me a vision of a handful of corn kernel. He gave it to me. And I thought to myself, now it's, we're supposed to see the whole corn, not just the kernel. You see the whole thing already assembled. In other words, your body is complete. You just have to, you don't confess certain parts. You confess it's been done. That's been already done. So that just came to me about the vision the Lord gave me. So that makes sense to me now. Thank you.
Amen. Praise you, Lord, for clarity. Thank you, Father. All right, you're on the road, brother.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Anyone else?
Hey.
Okay, we'll keep on just for a little bit. Jesus and his disciples used that method all through the scriptures. They did not use the things that are put to naught, to nothing, the things that, let me read that again. They did not use the things that are to put to nothing, the things are. They used the things that are not, the promises which claim that we are already healed. So when they got their eyes on the Son, which in this case is the serpent, and what the Son had accomplished, they were healed. The Son of God bore all this curse and we're healed. Excuse me. Many years ago, I got a vision. I saw myself walking to this stream. And when I got into this stream, I got a revelation that as long as I laid on my back and looked at the Son, I could stay floating on this stream. And as I meditated on that, the Lord gave me the answer to it. And the thing is, that when I was laying in this stream, I was floating upstream as I kept my eyes on the Son. I floated up the stream. And as I laid my back, I realized that this stream represents the Word of God. God told Moses, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And he was talking about his commandments, that they are both a blessing and a cursing. They represent the curse of death, and they represent the blessing of God's good news. So it depends on how you deal with these promises as to what you're going to meet in your future. And I realized that the water represented the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and 26, having cleansed the church by the washing of the water with the word, and that it could either kill me or give me life. And I realized that I could go contrary to nature if I kept my eyes on the sun. If I keep my eyes on the sun, I would always stay afloat. I would always stay above the curse. Excuse me. Water, if you go beneath it, will kill you. But if you stay on top, it is a blessing. And Noah, of course, stayed on top, and the cursed went beneath, and they died underneath the waters of that flood. To stay above the curse that is upon this world, we have to keep our eyes on the sun. Why is that? Because he's the one that promised, and he's the one that bore that curse. And we should be able to see our curse upon him. What problem do you have right now? Can you see that having been put upon the Lord, that having been put upon the Lord Jesus? If you can, then you can be free of it. That's his method. It's very, very simple. So simple that a babe can do it. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is believing that you have already received on account of the promises that God has already given. And as I was laying on my back with my face to the sun, I was floating upstream, contrary to the way of the world, contrary to nature, contrary to the laws of this world. Everybody wants things to be natural, but I tell you what, if you keep your eyes on the sun, it's supernatural. It's above the laws of this world. They take precedent over the laws of this world. Healing comes to people who believe that they have received it. But it's very hard to come to people who are seeking for it all the time. Deliverance from sin, same thing. Every other curse, same way. Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's very simple. Very cheap too. It is an awesome benefit that the Lord has given to us. So I realized that when I was floating upstream, I looked around and I saw that there were a few others that were doing the same thing. And as we floated away, I noticed that there were people on the left side of the stream that floated up under this tent that was stretched over about a half the stream. And when these people who were floating with me went under this tent and the shadow fell upon them and they sunk, I quickly got out onto the bank. I cut the ropes that were holding the tent up and it fell into the water and the water carried it away. And I made these floats to float these people up off the bottom. And once they saw the sun again, they started floating again. And I realized that what the tent represented was man's religion. They like to take a lot of credit for what God has already done. They like to tell men that God does not do it that way these days. They like to have their fleshly ideas, but basically what they're doing is, let's go back to Egypt and do it the way of the world. Let's have God's salvation through man's provision. Let's go back to the by the flesh pots. They basically didn't teach people to walk by faith with their eyes on the sun, but they brought them into the darkness. They blocked the light of the sun and the people sank. They are under the curse and they think it's normal to live under the curse of this world. Everybody around them is living that away. God did not ordain us to do that. If we keep our eyes on the sun, we're going to stay above the curse. That's what the Lord revealed to us. Years ago when the Lord was giving me a vision about moving over here to Pensacola, the vision was that my wife and myself were sitting in our front lawn in some lawn chairs. We were resting, taking it easy. And as we looked out the front, we saw the power lines going by on the street. And these were power lines. These were sagging in between the poles until they almost touched the ground, and then they went back up. And as we were looking at this scene, a tornado came and just picked us up out of our chairs and carried us away. And I saw all this very clearly. the Lord interpreted this for me, and the interpretation was that as we cease from our own works, we entered into the rest. The power of man was coming to an end in our life. The power line was sagging, almost touching the ground. Our efforts, our ability to save ourselves was coming to an end. But the power of God, which is likened to the whirlwind in the scriptures, when the power of man came to an end, the power of God picked us up out of our chairs and carried us away. And literally that happened, not the dream, but the interpretation. Supernaturally, the Lord moved us from where we were over to here, Pensacola. Provided everything, bought our house, bought our car, opened the doors, everything. He did it all. It was supernatural. There was another part to the vision, which when I came down, I was by this church. It was no particular church, but it was like a lot of churches, like the tent over the water. I walked through the door, and I saw an old man standing in the foyer of the church. And I knew this guy was dangerous, so I hugged the wall. And I went around him just like he was a rattlesnake. If he bit me, I would die. So I just hugged the wall and got around him, went into what they call the sanctuary a lot of time. And I knew this old man was a preacher. I went into the sanctuary, and I saw there was a big double sink in the middle of the sanctuary. And it was full of water, and it was full of babies face down in the water. And I ran over to this sink, and I started putting these babies up out of the water. Most of these babies were dead. And I pulled one up, and I held him face up, and he said, "Thank God, we knew he was going to send somebody, someone." The Lord pointed out to me that face down in the water is people who have their eyes on the world, and they're seeing the curse, and they're dying because of it. But face up towards the sun is facing what the Lord has provided, what the Lord became. A curse for us. He became sin for us. He made reconciliation. Our curse was upon him, was put upon him. His blessing was put upon us. Reconciliation means he made an exchange, and I'm going to stop right there. Okay. All right. Has anybody got something they'd like to share before we pray ourselves out? It's helping me do it again. I don't know if it's helping y'all, but it's helping me. It's lifting my faith up, Lord of God. Y'all just, I'll tell you what, I can believe for anything. And you live in this house, you can believe anything. I'll tell you. Pray, Lord of God. Anybody got anything we need to pray about? I'll tell you what, y'all believe with me. Y'all believe with me? All right, I command my sinuses to dry up in the name of Jesus. And I command my throat to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that it's already done. Thank you, Father. I confess that, Lord, you took it on your back, Lord, and I got to put up with it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I confess that I'm healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet in Jesus' name. And I confess that for everybody else here that's waiting on something to happen. We ain't waiting no more. It's already done. And I praise you, Father, that everybody here that's praying for healing is getting it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Woo, I praise you, Father, for doing that for everybody here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I didn't see Dana show up tonight.
Thank God.
Hey, go ahead, Joe.
Can I, Joe? Yeah. I agree with you on that because I was trying to get myself just to certain parts. I just confess it certain times and says, "Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this." I'm supposed to confess my whole bunch. I've already been healed, so I cannot look at what has been done. You cannot go back at what I've done. So,
amen. It's already done.
Issue of not getting healed of mine.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's been done. So just thank for everything, not just certain parts. Yeah. Just thank for thank everything you, that you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Yep. Amen. I just confess it. Lord, I thank you that you're going to protect everybody till we come back together again. When is it? Tuesday night or tomorrow night, if y'all come on the stream. Praise God. All right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah.